Christian response to an insurrection. We're going to be looking in the Proverbs a lot this morning. And so if you want to turn there and just be ready to flip between the Proverbs there. But the subtitle is Walking Wisely in This World. We had some events happen this past Wednesday that were a shame and an embarrassment to our country. I want to give you a few definitions. We have the right to a public protest in the United States of America. Webster's defines protest as the act of objecting or a gesture of disapproval, especially an organized public demonstration of disapproval. And that's what was organized. And many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, that's what happened in Washington, D.C. for those people. Then, one step above a protest, then is a riot. It's public violence, tumult, or disorder. And we've seen several of those throughout the year, and we saw one on Wednesday. But then we saw another level on Wednesday. We saw an insurrection. An insurrection is defined as an act or instance of revolting against civil authority or an established government. What we witnessed January 6th in Washington, D.C. was a protest that turned into a riot and quickly escalated to an insurrection. The people who stormed the Senate buildings were attempting to disrupt our constitutional process. So that's more than a riot. That's a whole other level. And so, in our modern world, reports and opinions flow like water over Niagara Falls. And I want us to step into the Proverbs this morning. Now, we understand that Proverbs are general truths. They're not promises. They're general truths. And they're given to help us to choose a path to take that is wise. And so I want to give you some helps in the Christian's response to an insurrection. Proverbs 18:17 is our first proverb. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Proverbs 18, verse 17. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Multiple claims have been made as to who really started the insurrection portion of what happened on Wednesday. Early responsible reporting seems to point to Trump supporters. Sketchy websites and opinion-driven news organizations are pointing to others. We don't know for certain who did what, but the FBI will investigate it and get to the bottom of it. Give them time to do their job. Be patient to find out the truth before you react. Now, part of the difficulties that we face in our day, and especially in the past 4 years, is that we've heard the term thrown about fake news. And it has been repeated and repeated and repeated over and over and over. And there's a danger when the person in power sets himself up as the sole source of truth. Because when reporting is done, it's done. Listen, we have media bias. I'm not denying that. Everybody that reports something has a bias. But we have some news organizations that have some journalistic integrity, and they are trying to find out facts. And when you read things, you need to look for facts. And when you watch a report, watch for facts, not opinions. Okay? And so what we've had is a degradation of trust in our media over the past 4 years, to the point where even local stations are receiving death threats. So words have power, don't they? We throw words like fake news out there. And then what happens is, one of the wonderful gifts to the United States of America is the free press. Because if you don't trust what the government's doing, then you need somebody investigating the government, right? And so a free press is going to help us confirm or question the results of the FBI's investigation. Because some of you, when I said the FBI is going to investigate it and find out what happened, some of you went, huh, how can we trust them? Well, the counter to our federal investigations is our free press. It's a hugely important thing. It's just like the separation of powers in our government. They keep one another in check, or are supposed to. And so then our press is supposed to help keep a check on our government. So a free press helps us to confirm or question the results of the FBI's investigation. So be patient to find out the truth before you react. Now you may say, Pastor, but Pastor, I've got opinions. I do too. And you know what else I have? I have this strong feeling in my soul that I am right. Let me put it another way. I'm not always right, but I always think I am. You can talk to Kim. There was one time back in 1992 when I was wrong. No, I'm just kidding. We've all got opinions, right? And somebody has made some pithy comment or saying about opinions are like armpits, right? But this brings us, look at Proverbs 18:2, okay? And I call this our social media verse of the day. If you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you saw me put this out. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Wait to express your opinion in a very public way. Now, if you're just talking with friends and that type of thing, and it's a closed-in thing, share your opinions, okay? But be careful, and we'll get into some of the other ways that we can conduct ourselves. But keep in mind that your words, the proverbs that speak to our words, your social media posts count, right? And the words that come out of your mouth to your friends count. So be patient. Number one, be patient to find out the truth before you react too strongly. It could be that you will be proven wrong and lose your testimony as a reasonable person. Because sometimes in my life, when I've stated my opinion very strongly and then been proven wrong, I hate being wrong so much that I'll double down on my opinion. And that's foolish. And we don't want to do that either. Admit when you're wrong, eat your crow, as the saying goes, and go on. You have a testimony to the Lord to keep as a truth teller. Okay? So, you want your testimony to be that you are a reasonable person. And that's where we come to the next Christian response to an insurrection. Self-control. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Again, many proverbs about self-control when it comes to speaking in the Proverbs. Why do you think that is? Why do you think God has so much to say about self-control to Christians? Because you and I, we lack it. We lack self-control. And self-control is so important in life. If you look at Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls and without defenses. Speaking of in those days, if a city didn't have walls, it was defenseless. So be careful with your words. Show self-control. Beloved, you can hate policy all you want, but you can't hate people, right? I mean, Jesus said we have to love our enemies. I mean, I don't know how much more plain he could be. So are the words that come out of your mouth loving towards the people you consider your enemies? If not, you've got a problem with self-control. Self-control is so important. We have to love having a relationship with people more than we have to love winning an argument. And again, I told you before, I like being right. And I like you to know that I'm right. I like others to know. You should pray for Kim. Because I'm not always right. We need to desire relationships with people more than we desire being right. And we need to desire the Lord to be glorified in our lives more than we need to treat other humans who are made in the image of God as if they're deplorable. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit produces self-control in believers who are following His leading. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. After going through the works of the flesh, that's the things we do and they come natural to us and that type of thing. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I've told you before, we're now in the season where I'm an expert fruit tree namer. Okay? During the summer, when there's no fruit on the trees, I can't tell the difference between a grapefruit tree and an orange tree. Just can't do it. But this time of year, I'm good, right? The fruits are on there. And the fruits are, grapefruits produce grapefruits because they're what? Grapefruit trees, right? And oranges, orange trees produce oranges because they're orange trees. And beloved, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit should be producing in you these things as we follow Him. So Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, when we're following the Spirit produces these things in us. So now the thing of it is you can examine yourself and you can just go through those and say, am I experiencing joy in my life? Is there peace in my life? No. Go through these and then you can examine why. Why am I not having these? Because obviously in some area I'm not following the Spirit, or else He would be producing these things in me. And the final one being self-control. Now, when I was in seminary, one of my teachers was shared an example of a conversation that he had with a church member in the church we were in. He was an assistant pastor there, and he was teaching in the class. And he said, you know, I'm talking after the service and I'm talking to this guy, and he is just getting more and more angry as he's talking to me about a situation that was going on in the church. And he says, guys, the Spirit just led me to say, hey, Jim, is the Spirit in control of you right now? And he said, it just looked like he got hit by a truck. Boom. The anger fled from his face. And he says, no, I don't think He is. You see, when we're out of control, we're not following the Spirit. So show self-control. Be patient and waiting for the truth to come out, and then show self-control. And that's when we come to the next Christian response to an insurrection. We need to respond gently as peacemakers. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. This is one of the greatest verses for practical life that you can have. I mean, in any situation. Children, your parents are angry. A soft answer turns away wrath. Husbands, your wife is angry. A soft answer turns away wrath. Your employees, your employer's angry with you. A soft answer turns away wrath. It is a great tool. In other words, don't yell back when somebody yells at you. Don't attack back. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up what? Anger. Harsh words stir up anger. The way we communicate communicates something, doesn't it? It's important how we conduct ourselves. So many verses that speak about this. James 1, verses 19 and 20. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And then later on in James, in chapter 3, verse 18, it says, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Listen, when you make peace, you reap righteousness. We should not escalate people's anger. We should not escalate conversations towards violence. In the situation that's happening and the protests and things like that, you've done what you could in voting. Now spend your energy being reasonable and pointing others towards Christ. You've done what you can concerning the election. Even if some of you may have flown up and protested, it's okay. A peaceful protest is okay. But at some point, and I would suggest that be real soon, all of us need to recognize God's sovereignty in the process. And that's the next one. Proverbs 21, verse 1. We've done what we can. We need to recognize God's sovereignty over the process. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Joe Biden will not be all bad. He won't be all good. He's human. Don't treat him like he's all evil or all good. President Trump wasn't. Biden won't be. We don't have to defend every decision a man makes that we voted for. I don't understand the mentality in our day that just because that's my guy, I defend every decision he makes and every action he takes. It's ridiculous. Here we have a senator in the state of Texas, Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz. I voted for Ted Cruz. I despise what he's been doing with these constitutional challenges to the election and protesting of the votes. I think that's wrong. But I don't have to defend him for it. And I don't have to agree with him on it. I may vote for him again. I don't have to agree with politicians on every jot and tittle. It's why character matters. Right? And so we have to be reasonable. We don't have to tear down every decision a man makes for whom you didn't vote for. We don't need to do that with Biden. We need to recognize the good and recognize the bad. But it's not all bad and it's not all good. I didn't vote for President Obama. I think he did some damaging things to our country, to the moral fabric of our country. At the same time, he did some really good things. Don't panic. God works through sinful men to accomplish his purposes. He's sovereign and all-powerful. Daniel 2, 20 and 21 says this, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. I remember someone said to me 4 years ago when President Trump was elected, they said to me, I believe God gave us Donald Trump as president. And I responded, I said, I do too. But we don't know if God gave him to us in mercy or in judgment. Time tells those things. Hosea 13:11. God tells the people of Israel, I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. His ways are higher than our ways, beloved. We don't know what he's up to, right? And so we have to trust him in the process. There are many countries where the people, and the people including Christians, who have absolutely no say in who's going to rule over them. We are blessed in our country. And I believe we have the greatest country in the world to have the right to vote and to publicly protest. But, beloved, stolen election or not, Joe Biden is going to be your president. Don't say, he's not my president. How for 4 years, you say, but Pastor, for 4 years, the Democrats have been saying that. Think about that argument for a second. Did you ever have this conversation with your kids when they ask you if they could do something? And they said, well, everybody else is doing it. What did you say? If everybody goes and jumps off a bridge, would you do it? Right? Just because somebody else has done it doesn't mean you need to be doing it. Listen, we're Christians. God is our king, and he's told us to submit to our governmental authorities, and that's going to be Joe Biden. Don't talk bad about him. Don't call him names. Don't mock him. What an affront to God. There's no need to panic. God is still in control. The wonderful thing about living in the United States of America is we have a constitutional form of government. And guess what? 2 years from now, what's going to happen? An election, right? So if you don't like what's going on between now and the next election, you have the opportunity to vote and change things. Wonderful. And then 2 years after that, you get a chance to vote again. You say, well, they rigged this election. Well, you know what? Responsible reporting says no. And that's what bothers me the most. When trust in our government is torn down, I can't trust the government. And then trust in our free press is torn down. Well, I can't trust what the media tells me. Well, then who am I to trust? And then people run off to opinion websites and, God forbid, conspiracy theories. We're getting caught up in these conspiracy theories. Because we said, well, I can't believe them, and I can't believe them. So, well, who else left? Well, the cuckoos are left. And suddenly everybody's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Beloved, I pray that you will learn to be discerning when you hear something. I had a friend, or acquaintance really, guy I went to seminary with. He went to the rally and he posted on Facebook. You know, he said from his perspective it was a very good, very good thing. There was prayer times had and everything else, and he was very patriotic and he enjoyed that and everything else. And then he made this statement. He says, I believe Antifa was involved. Now, without any facts or anything else, that's what he believes. Why does he believe that? Well, because number one, he doesn't want to be a part of something that's so terrible as what happened. But also the people that he was around didn't do those things that we see on television. So when somebody says, I believe or I think, your radar should go up. Ding, ding. Okay, now we're talking opinions. And I got those. Right? And opinions are different than facts. Facts are ornery things. They don't change. They don't go away. Right? And just because somebody's news report or whatever doesn't agree with how I'd like it to turn out, doesn't mean I can just label it fake news and just believe what I want to believe. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So, there's no need to panic. God is still in control. We'll close with this final Christian reaction to an insurrection. Look at Proverbs 24. Verses 21 and 22. The final Christian reaction to an insurrection that we'll look at this morning is live like Jesus is your king. Because he really is, if you're a Christian. Proverbs 24, verses 21 and 22. The writer of the Proverbs says, my son, fear the Lord. What's that next word? And the king. Fear the Lord and the king. Do not join with those who do otherwise. For disaster will arise suddenly from them. And who knows the ruin that will come from them both. God sets up rulers. You work to create insurrection from those rulers. It's liable to bring judgment. Either from those rulers or from God. Both are included in this verse. Christians do not need to be a part of this insurrection that has happened. We have a king whom we serve, regardless of earthly kings or earthly forms of government. You know, the Christian church exists in communist countries. Jesus Christ will build his church. And so as Christians, we need to live as if Jesus is our king. And the verse that we read as a congregation this morning applies greatly, because that's what we're to be about, is serving our king and submitting to our earthly king. Serving one, submitting to the other. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven," that's the spiritual realm, "and on earth," the physical realm, "has been given to me." So here's somebody we need to listen to. Here's what he tells us to do. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Beloved, how are you doing with fulfilling this verse, fulfilling this command? Are you telling unsaved people about Jesus Christ? Are you working with saved people to teach them about Jesus Christ and to encourage them as He has commanded us? What's happening in Washington? You know how much power we have to affect that? Not much. Most of what we have to affect it has already taken place. So let's not sit back and wring our hands, fire volleys with our mouths, and be concerned about... Somebody said, people are willing to destroy relationships with people they know for the sake of two people who don't even know their name. Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Shame. Shame on us. Beloved, don't get caught up in this to the point where you're not serving your king. Take time. You start getting worried about what's going on in Washington, D.C. while you're watching the television. Turn it off. And then call your Christian friend and see how they're doing in their walk with Christ. Get about God's business, because we can affect people's lives here. God has given you friends and acquaintances and co-workers that you can impact with the gospel and make an eternal difference in this world. More difference than any of the guys in Washington can. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And he's talking about food and clothing. He's talking about getting anxious over about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Kind of like you were this morning. What am I going to wear to church? Where am I going to eat after church? Oh, important decisions in life. He says, don't worry about those things. God's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you clothing and food if you serve Him in His kingdom. So, conclusion here. Let's land this plane. A Christian should respond to this past week's events by patiently waiting to find out the truth, while showing self-control in our conversations as we respond gently as peacemakers who recognize God's sovereignty over the process as we live for our King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these Proverbs that teach us how to walk wisely in this world. Father, we ask that You will work in the hearts of those in Washington and surrounding areas and different things, and in the press and in our Senate and in our House and in the White House, in the Supreme Court. We pray that You'll work on their hearts, Lord, to do what's right and to accomplish Your will. Down here in the valley, Lord, the Rio Grande Valley, this beautiful place with hundreds of thousands of people that don't know You, Father, may we be about Your business this week with our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.